Red is in the building. All right, you sounded like a robot. Say something else.
Yo.
Yo.
Okay, so, all right, now you sound normal.
Yeah, I have some sound technical difficulties. We good now. What's good? What's good? What's good, everybody?
What you was sounding like, Soundwave or something?
Yeah.
You sound like T-Pain.
Damn.
But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones. That's Two Gun Tony. Red, and we are. I said, this is the Troublemakers Podcast.
Hey, hey.
So, every once in a while, Gunner, Red, and I will do a show about nothing. Topics I do want to discuss, so yeah.
Yeah, so it's not really about nothing. It's about those topics.
Those particular topics, yeah.
So yeah.
First thing, how was y'all's day?
Man, pretty good. It was all right. You know, just deal with some folks, some who aren't too intelligent at times, but you know,
damn,
it is what it is.
I try to stay away from them.
That happens in the retail world a lot. So
yeah, man. Sometimes
it does, doesn't it, Tigger?
If you want to know how, baby, you know it does.
Yeah, man. It's wild, but you know, it's a good week though. We had what Labor Day was it?
We did a show on.
Yeah, we got the Labor Day and then football this week. So you know,
it start what the day after tomorrow, right?
Yeah. And you know, I'm in Buffalo Bills country, so you know, motherfuckers around here are just wild with the what they can't wait for Thursday. So
I would say before. Y'all know it's weird.
What's up?
I said, Quincy Jones fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I pick random CDs to listen to when I go out in the neighborhood. But you know, movie? Quincy what? Jones's album Sounds and Stuff Like That. That's the name of the album. Sounds and Stuff Like That.
Sounds and Stuff Like That.
And Stuff Like That.
When did he make this album? Like
19 CD case in front of me. Yes, that's it.
That got to be 70s.
1978. The year before. The year.
Oh, I thought it was like, I thought this might have been like older Quincy Jones. Just simply because of the name of the album. Like
you thought that was the heroin Quincy Jones.
Huh? Yeah. Well, I thought it was like old Quincy Jones because this is like just the old motherfucker who's well, like, yeah, just the sounds and stuff like that.
But Quincy Jones used to do bossa nova music.
I mean,
y'all know what bossa nova is, right?
I mean, apparently
I know what it is. I just would have to listen to it.
So, but like,
yeah, when I think of bossa nova, I think of damn Levert.
Oh, Lord.
But that's Casanova.
I know it's Casanova. Like,
I'm a John Casanova. Me and Romeo have been friends.
Yeah. What's bossa nova music?
It's like orchestrated boogie music. Like the theme to Austin Powers was bossa nova.
What is it?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that shit that That shit like the people in the 70s used to get high to. So like Andy Warhol and them motherfuckers.
Andy Warhol was more so of progressive slop.
I don't know what the fuck that is either, but
me neither.
Alright, so it's kinda hard to like the theme to Austin Powers is a bossa nova song. For number one spot.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was an orchestrated band doing boogie music.
Oh, this shit they used to play in the 1950 to 1960 pornos. You know what I mean?
Basically what they call coffee shop music.
I don't know if I've ever heard that shit in a coffee shop, but like
but Well, the reason why I say this Quincy Jones album is very good to me is because that's when Quincy started doing the funk disco era. I don't know. I just
associate, like, when I hear that Austin Powers shit, like I said, I think of like the 1950s, 1960s, like whatever pornos were like back then. Where it's just like,
or like beach black music, like beach,
like all black and white. The chicks are in bikinis, but their bikini draws all the way up to their stomach.
Wait, are there black and white pornos?
What?
I guess I don't know.
They got pornos and filth from whenever cameras came out. Yeah, they got it.
I ain't never seen one. I guess I got to go to X videos and try to look one up.
A whole lot of hair.
don't be good. I don't know. I just assume, you know, when I think of like Austin Powers, I think like that go-go, whatever the fuck.
Like the Monkees.
Yeah.
And
the Monkees did some bossa nova music.
It's like party. Yeah. Jamboree, high boots and short skirts.
Yeah,
a whole lot of no rhythm.
I was back there when they was taking that acid and shit.
But enough. Give me some topics to discuss about tonight. All right.
All right. Work.
First one is the 50 worst MCs list. I actually got to pull that up on Google.
Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of No Limit on that list.
Hey,
a lot.
Shut up. I mean,
50 worst rappers of all time. All right. I actually see a different list, though.
The one you should see should start with Silk.
I see two lists. One starts with Magoo, and the other one starts with Silk.
So who?
The newest one.
Magoo.
Oh.
So which one do you want to do? The one that starts
with Magoo. Know the one that starts with Magoo. When did that come out?
It says a new list of 50. This one just came out. This one actually came out Sunday.
Who put that out?
I see the list you're talking about.
Dat Piff.
Oh wow, Dat Piff. Read that one. I gotta hear it.
All right, so
do they got a bunch of people that we don't know about because they're only on Dat Piff?
All right, so want me to read this one for you?
Yeah.
This one, number one is Magoo. Number two is Blueface. Number three is Lil Yachty. Number four is Stunner for Vegas. Number five, still made the top five, Silk the Shocker. Number six is JoJo Simmons, G Herbo, 50 Tyson, Lil B.
All right, wait, stop right there. Because you said 50 Tyson, man. That motherfucker was like... Like, he wasn't even, like, a real rapper.
He got signed to Atlantic.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yes. He got a whole real video.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
So
a lot of CGI.
After 50 Tyson's Lil B, I-20, OJ the Juice Man, Maddie B.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
I can't take that list seriously, man. Fucking Maddie B.
And why I-20?
I like the I-20. Going on the list, Vanilla Ice.
The only thing about I-20 is like sometimes I think his voice is fake.
Oh, rah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I sometimes I feel like he's trying to do that voice on purpose.
It's a little exaggerated version of his own voice, kind of.
Yeah. I see the other list that you're talking about, but continue digging.
I mean, Foxy did it in the beginning.
That's true.
Yeah, go ahead.
Vanilla Ice, Creation, Black Tie, Ron Artest, Lucci, Shaq, Riff Raff, Playboy Cardi, Nick Cannon, OG Mako, Mike Jones, Birdman, Bone Crusher, Iggy Azalea, Trinidad James, how do you say it? McConan? I don't know.
I love McConan.
I guess. This is McConan. McConan, Tony Yayo, Gutter Gutter, Webby, Chingy, Earl Sweatshirt, who is actually dope lyricist. Freeway, Ludacris,
Cass. No, all right, you can stop now. You said Ludacris and Freeway, man.
All right. They listed me in Two Gun and Mystery Song.
Yeah, I got it pulled up here. The one that had Silk the Shocker number one and Master P number three?
Yes.
Ooh. Loud No Limit on that list.
Wait, and C Murder was on that list. I forget.
Like halfway through?
It was number 30. He was number 30.
All right, so I'll read that list. Silk the Shocker, Lil Yachty, still at number two. Silk the Shocker, Lil Yachty, Kid the Juice Man, Lil Flip, Lil Pump, Smoke Purp, 6ix9ine, Gutta Gutta, Diddy, Waka Flocka, Coi Leray, Birdman, Vanilla Ice, Kid Boo, Yeet, Benzino, Clive, Blueface, Cardi B, Lil B, Gunner, Chief Keef, Soulja Boy, Manny Fresh, Nick Cannon, Chingy, the whole St. Lunatics as a unit.
Damn.
Bow Wow, C Murder, G Herbo, Riff Raff, French Montana, the Ying Yang Twins, Mike Jones, Lil Uzi Vert, Flo Rida and Pitbull, both at number 37.
Interesting.
They hold a Florida Young down Thug. Together.
Young Thug, Petey Designer, Tony Yayo, Tom McDonald, Future, Iggy Azalea, Nelly, RZA, Playboi Carti, Eazy-E, and NBA Youngboy that rounds out all 50.
That nigga got mad when he saw Iggy Azalea on there.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
So, I when I read the list and I look at it, I see what they were trying to do. But then, at the same time, like it makes it hard to figure out what the criteria was. That
they this is a kid.
You said this is what?
It's like a kid, like somebody 25 and under.
Yeah. Like this is what I say. I say anywhere Silk the Shocker is, Blueface has to follow second.
Word.
Because Blueface literally took Silk the Shocker style and basically mangled it.
I don't even know if he took his style. He just.
I'm also going to say, like, some of these, like, if you dive deeper than just surface level, I mean, there's a couple of names that come off this list.
Cardi B could come off. RZA could come off.
I agree.
I think Pitbull could come off.
Eazy-E.
No, I think Pitbull should stay.
Nah, Pitbull actually can rap. He just found another lane.
I mean, I'll say Waka Flocka can't rap, but like
he should come up.
If you dig down deeper into this, to like his catalog, Waka Flocka got some shit.
I think Eazy-E and Diddy shouldn't count because they didn't write their rhymes.
That's another thing.
I don't think that counts because you still can have a flow.
But there was nothing wrong with Eazy's flow. There was nothing. Diddy's flow.
There's nothing wrong with Diddy's flow?
Diddy emulated Jay-Z perfectly on Young G's. Diddy emulated Nas perfectly on Everything I Love.
Nah, but
Diddy emulated T.I. perfectly on, what's that song that him and Big Boi did, Wanna Move?
Yeah, but think about it. You just say he emulated three different rappers on three different songs. And then when I think about
we're talking about flow here.
I know, but like...
Yeah, but that's stealing somebody's flow.
And that's three different styles of flow, right? For one. And then for two, like, I'm still thinking about those songs. And I it sounds like to me he was just, like, reading off of a sheet. It didn't sound like he actually had a flow.
That's what ghostwriters do.
I mean, I know, but to me, I still don't feel the flow in that. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like you're reading off of a sheet.
You got to listen to Diddy flow on that Supercat song.
Drake does the same thing?
Nah,
why is Drake on the list?
No, because Drake actually has a different type of flow. Drake be saying some shit sometimes.
Yeah, same thing other people wrote.
Yeah, but you'll never find Drake on this list. I'm gonna tell you, you never find Drake on this list because Drake can actually flow. So like, I feel like Drake knows how to, for lack of better terms, ride a beat, right?
Yeah, and he could change it up.
and he can change it up. So like a good example, you know, is if you listen to that song, the newest song, because I didn't like its new album, but the song Jimmy Crooks off of there, fuck a pigeon toe, he actually flows pretty well on that and writes the beat pretty well. He's actually saying some lyrical shit. But like, I agree with you when it comes to Drake, because I'm not too big on a Drake fan, but like, we gotta get that dude his flowers, because he's...
This is as far as me giving Drake his flowers. I give Drake his flowers because that's what hip-hop needed at the time.
Hip-hop needed... I don't know if it like that.
Hip-hop needed a new... What's the word I'm looking for? Poster child to merge communities.
What communities?
He's talking about the white and black thing.
He, like Eminem, could be played in any club. That it's a great conversation starter. Drake is a conversation starter. Drake is the MC Hammer of today. Congratulations. White people loved Hammer.
That's a fact.
Believe it, you look at Hammer sales, and I beg y'all to do this. When you look at Hammer sales, do you know Hammer sold more in the suburbs than anything?
He did, but Drake didn't go broke after three albums. But Drake didn't go broke after three albums.
Well, you got to remember, more hip hop is sold in the suburbs than anywhere. Niggas don't buy albums.
You really think that's true?
Of course it is. 100%.
Let me think about this real fast.
Because I think I want to play devil's advocate a little bit. And I don't like the comparison of, like, Drake to Hammer. Because I just think that they're two different entities. You know what I mean? Like, as far as in popularity,
How are they two different entities?
Because they are. Hammer was big off of the one fucking album. Like, off of that Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him. Was that the album?
Yeah.
Well, You Can't Touch This?
Yeah,
yep.
because he had a very popularized friendly, song, and then everything after that, Hammer just kind of disappeared.
And then you had to add the visuals with Hammer.
You know what killed Hammer?
What?
The video to Pumps in the Bump.
Of course it did. You know why? Because Hammer tried to be a nigga after that. Sorry,
Hammer shouldn't have had them Speedos on.
No, that's thank you, two guys. Didn't we mention that in like episode 3?
I think so. That's my song though.
It's a great song. For those who never seen the Pumps in the Bump video, and I'm surprised Hammer isn't on both of these lists either. So
they don't know about Hammer because they too young.
For people who don't know about the Pumps in the Bump video, I remember seeing a video right? That's when he's in the Atlanta Falcons gear, you know, dancing at Deion Sanders' mansion and everything, right? Then I remember the first time I saw it on MTV. I was like, yo, what the fuck is this?
Listen.
This Hammer man had a banana hammock on.
Yeah, so that fucked him up. But then also, I'm telling you, Hammer flipped in the second or third album when he tried to become the Funky Headhunter, right?
Too legit to quit was his third.
Yeah, but when he tried to become the Funky Headhunter.
Yeah, but nobody knew him until his second album.
Yeah, like that's when everybody was like, yeah, I ain't fucking with him no more. Because I think Hammer, think about it, Hammer's from Oakland, right? And then Hammer was deep in the streets.
Do you know why Hammer switched it like that? He started opening for Eazy-E.
Yeah, but you can't open for a group called Niggas with Attitude if you're over there dancing in the Speedos. You know what I mean?
That's true.
And I think he tried.
That's what this episode's gonna be called. You can't open for Niggas with Attitude if you're dancing in the Speedos.
Yeah, but I think to your point, like he had the crowd, and then he tried to go back to his Oakland roots. The reason why I think it's different for Drake.
It was at a time where rap was shifting also.
Yeah.
Soon after Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him was released, Straight Outta Compton was. So Hammer just came out at a very, very what's the word I'm looking for? Not inopportune time. What, Two Gun, help me out here.
It was just like, it was the best time, I guess, but the worst time at the same, you know what I mean?
Because remember, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him came out in 90. Straight Outta Compton came out, 91?
Yeah, Straight Outta Compton.
No, that's 90. No, that was still 90.
You talking about N.W.A.?
N.W.A., yeah.
That's like 89.
Yeah. They came out at the same time, but they with Hammer, I think what happened was with Hammer being from Oakland, and then they were trying to push the movement of West Coast music, like he had no choice but to try to ride the wave of what was happening in the West Coast. And to your point, Digger, yes, Hammer appealed to all audiences all over the place. He was almost like the, I hate saying it like this, but he was almost like the Michael Jackson of rap at that time. For a period of time. But the issue was, and this is why I favor Hammer different from Drake and say that Drake did it better, is when Hammer wanted to adjust back to being like, well, fuck it, I'm from Oakland, I'm on tour with NWA, now I got to get back to my hood roots. He didn't know how to do that.
Right? Remember what Ice Cube said about it in True to the Game?
What?
He said, and you're going to have a heart attack when you find out that the niggas don't want you back.
Yeah, right? He had a hard time adjusting back. Drake didn't have that problem because Drake
is halfway. You know,
well, that, but like Drake also had the ability to adjust to whatever trim was happening. You got to remember back in the early 90s, everything like or in the 90s, I personally feel, and this is just my personal opinion, when it came to music, everything was black or white. There was either the good rap like Will Smith or there was a hardcore rap. And then I don't think that really changed until the New York rap started taking over. That's and they bullshit. Started talking about the cocaine rap.
That's bullshit because what's it called? Vanilla Ice. White people, black people, turtles.
That's the same. He was the same with Hammer. Same time frame.
I'm saying
that's with MC Hammer was on Ninja Turtle 1 soundtrack.
Man, Vanilla Ice was on Part 2.
Yeah, that's right. But I'm saying you was able to do that because at the time where he was at his Michael Jackson height of fame and for rap, that's what was appealing to everybody.
And you got to realize they put a lot of money behind them.
They did.
I don't mean to get off subject. MC Hammer's subtle beef with Michael Jackson.
No.
So remember in the Too Legit to Quit video, James Brown was just like, you got to fight the gloved one.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
You got to battle the gloved one. And at the end of the video, they had a Michael Jackson impersonator doing the Too Legit to Quit hand sign.
I do remember that.
I think that was just all fun.
But like to my point, and the point I'm trying to make is, it's like Hammer was at their pinnacle, right? And he had the opportunity to stay, but then like when it was time for him to switch up, he didn't know how, and then at that point he ended up just
or somebody pressured out him to do that. They might have just told him to do that.
Yeah, and the difference I feel is obviously, and I often look at the parallels between like the NBA and the parallels in rap. And I use those as analogies a lot. And everybody's going to say that, well, back when Michael played, the league was totally different. It was rougher, blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of the same thing with hip hop. Like back when Hammer was out, the league was a little bit different and it ran a little differently. So but Hammer couldn't bounce back like it is now, where Drake can like just switch fucking genres and then still do whatever the fuck he wants because it's different now.
But you know,
all right, we got to get off Hammer. This turned into the Hammer show.
I'm sorry.
You know what the pinnacle is?
What?
MC Hammer ain't on both of these lists.
That is.
So
yeah,
I actually want to get off the 50 best rap. I'm 50 worst rap. Talk about something that I know Red will be interested to talk about.
What's good?
Jay-Z's verse in God Did.
Y'all want to know a fun fact?
What's that?
I did not listen to the breakdown of the verse, and I only listened to that verse maybe 2-3 times.
Oh, wow.
I did not go back and revisit it.
Coming from a Jay-Z fan.
That is correct.
I got to send you both breakdown videos that I love.
Yeah.
Breakdown.
Each time that I listen to it, I heard some of the stuff that he said, and I actually thought it was brilliant, but like I did not overanalyze it like everybody else did, and I also did not go back to revisit the song.
I listened to that song, I think twice. No, I lie. I listened to it about maybe three times in a row and was done with the rest of that album. But here's my take on Jay-Z's God Did verse. Jay-Z has always been a master at entendres. He says is, you know, I'm a hustler, baby. I sell water to a whale, which has two different meanings. The sea animal whale and a well that you fish water from.
Yeah.
Like, Jay-Z has always been phenomenal when it comes to entendres. But here's what I will say about the verse almost 2 weeks later. When you listen to it and listen to it and listen to it, there's just so much to break down that the verse almost becomes boring.
I agree.
It's very long.
There's just so much to unpack. It's just like, this is what I always say. A 16 is like a homework assignment, right? So most people have attention span for a whole 16, right? But 84 bars, that's like college course. You really don't want to go back and try to dissect everything.
I think it should have just been a Jay song by itself.
Me like too.
There was just so much to unpack.
There's no need to have Jay featured on a song with anybody on the album like that.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, that is actually one of the reasons why I have not went back and revisit the song.
Because there's so much to unpack?
Because there's a lot to unpack. And then also, like, I want to hear Jay-Z's verse, but now I got to get through Khaled. I got to get through Rick Ross. And, I got to get through Lil Wayne just to get to where I want to go. You know what I mean? I'm going to take the road less traveled. You know what I mean? And I'm just going to, like, I'm going to go back and revisit it when I feel like I have the time to actually sit there and listen through it. You know what I mean?
Like, I'll fast forward through it.
Yeah, I'll fast forward through it, which you know, sometimes takes away from the song. And, like, I just feel like, to your point, Digger, that it's a lot, and it should have just been like a solo song. And I know the greatness of the verse because, you know, everybody's talking about it, and everybody's talking about how, like, he just went through and there's even news reports of them just breaking the verse down, right? So
correct.
So obviously the greatness of the verse is huge.
Did you watch that video I sent you?
No, not yet.
It was a great I send you my homeboy, shout out to Justin Hunt. He does this thing called the breakdown, right? And he broke down, you know, Jay-Z's verse not completely, but he brought up a lot of points about Jay-Z. It was just like, you know, Jay-Z's been a billionaire for too long. Now he just talks about, you know, what people can't relate to or what people don't want to break down. And I get it.
Well, also, I think he was going for shock value with this verse too, because if you think about it, there was another video of a news anchor who broke it down, and then Jay-Z actually... Oh yeah, and he actually put that breakdown of the video on Tidal, right?
Yes.
To explain the breakdown? Yeah, so I will revisit that, but like I said, as a fan, obviously I know that Hov killed it. I heard it a couple times, and each time I listened, I was like, yo, he's spitting some shit. But once again, it was just one of those things where it's just a lot. And it's just like, I really want to take the time to revisit this. And, you know, it's just a time where it's just like, yo, I just want to pop something in the car and ride. You know what I mean? And just...
But I just had the same problem with, and I don't mean to get off subject of Jay-Z. I just had the same problem with every Khaled album after his first album. It's cool to drop compilations and everything, but drop compilations that people want to hear.
I think people want to hear him. He keep dropping them.
You know, have you noticed that these last few Khaled albums don't hit the same as that that one that he did when he was on Terror Squad?
We the best. Oh,
his first four on Terror Squad were good.
The Terror Squad one, they had that Grammy Family and the Holla at Me Baby.
Oh, that's his first album. Listen.
Yeah. And shame on Khaled because you can't find it on any streaming sites.
No, nope. Listen, it's on streaming sites now.
It's not on Apple Music.
It's not on Spotify.
Not on you, Spotify.
It is on Apple Music.
Where?
Hold on, I'm going to send it to you.
Where? Because I got it on Apple Music because I had the CD and I had to upload that motherfucker.
It is on Apple Music. I'm about to send it to you. Okay, never mind. I'm wrong.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I said. It wasn't on none of them.
Yeah, it wasn't on.
I think they start at We the Best.
Yeah, I had to
buy We the Global CD. One or whatever that is.
And I had to buy the CD and upload that bitch.
My bad. Somebody was calling me, but it's only on Apple Music because I have it on my phone. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I'm so hood.
But that shit just hit different than like the new Khaled stuff. You know what I mean?
But do you know why? I think it's because Khaled got so full of himself.
Not only that, the artist changed.
Artist changed, but he's. I feel like he's trying to. No pun intended to the title of the album, but I think he feels like he's ascending into like a God level, almost like a Kanye. You know what I mean? So like how Kanye's more recent
for DJs
music.
Maybe for putting out compilations maybe.
Yeah, like he definitely is. But like I just kind of feel like he's really
into himself.
Yeah, like he's reaching. Are trying to reach that status to where it, like all the music sounds more harmonic and like I just want that down south dirty, you know. I'm gonna smack your mama.
You want some dunk riders on that bitch?
Yeah.
Do you know what DJ Khaled really does? It's beats from producers and say I want to hear this person on it and this person on it. And
yeah, that's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. I don't care that he does that. Like, I just want to hear him saying in the background, like, I'm going to smack your mama. Like, if somebody rap about smacking their mom, smack the mom! You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to hear on the song other than this.
Sometimes I don't even want to hear DJ Khaled.
Yeah. I don't mind. Like, I don't mind hearing him in that. Like, all this, we are at a higher level of God. When you know, I don't want to hear bullshit.
All so I want to hear him say is we the best and listen. That's it.
Listen, we the best.
That's it.
I will say one thing, though. Both of his Jordan 5s are dope, and I want them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We the best Jordan. I want both of those, so that's it. Anywho. Well, he's
new sneaker king.
You said new what?
He's like the new sneaker king. He's like
new sneaker alert.
Yeah, like the PJ Tucker of, once again, another basketball reference. He's like the PJ Tucker of rap.
All right, so next topic that Two Gun wanted to talk about, which I love, is Stacey Dash about DMX's death.
That bitch.
I don't understand that shit.
Like I said,
where she been?
Listen. Like I said. She's gonna flip when she finds out about Prince.
Was she in a drug induced coma this whole time?
No, when you take her out the hood, then when you take the woman out the hood, then she doesn't follow or keep up with her activities.
But you know what's funny about Stacey Dash though? When she did that video, did y'all notice she looked about 3 shades lighter?
No, I actually didn't notice the skin tone.
Like, maybe she's just been in the house. She ain't on Coolest no more, soaking in the sun.
Possibly, but like I said,
maybe she didn't know that the pandemic with our being in the house was over. Maybe she stayed in. She didn't know
they want her to stay. No, because she came out for something, didn't she? She was on stage with somebody. Was that like a Grammy?
Wait, didn't she make comments about Biden last year?
I think so.
That's what I'm saying. So hey, she's been around.
I call Cap that she didn't know that. I ain't gonna lie though. I'm gonna tell you straight up though. I'm gonna say it, and I know some of y'all may be thinking this, but I don't care. I'll still tear her up. That's just me though.
Hey, I give it to her.
Hey, listen. Especially that 90 Stacey Dash, boy.
You know what? She probably got fucked into a car.
And all falls down.
Falls down video, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Stacey Dash. I give it to right there.
But, yeah, isn't she like, how is she related to Dame
cousin, Dash? First cousin.
Are they Dame first Dash cousins? In Texas?
Dame Dash in Texas letting that nigga die. She fucking
this nigga retarded too.
Oh fuck Dame. Yeah, Dame is on some other shit.
We need to go back in time and re-nigga Stacey Dash.
Dame said something outlandish the other week.
Does he not always?
No, he said, wait, what was it? He says, I think Kanye is a better artist than Jay-Z.
That's because Dame is petty. And Dame is petty, and he's still heartbroken over the whole Rockefeller Fallout thing, which I actually, I was actually at the barbershop, and the barbershop I go to, they play all these like hip-hop YouTube videos and shit like that. And there was a very intriguing YouTube video that I didn't know how deep the well was between the beef between Rough Riders and Rockefeller.
There was a beef?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. So Beanie Siegel and it kind of all started with the whole Nas thing, but Beanie Siegel and Freeway and all them boys
took shots. Oh, they won on Hot 97.
Yeah, they all took shots at the Lox. And then this was around the time that the Lox was like getting right off of Rough Rider. And then the Lox took all these shots. Right off of Bad Boy, but transitioning to Rough Rider. Remember, they was on Rough Rider for a while, correct?
Correct.
They've always been Rough Riders.
Yeah, but they've always did the initial deal with Bad Boy because
it was like management.
Didn't put them out at the time.
Yeah, so it was. I know it had to do because I think it was either Sheik Luch. He was telling the story about how he was going to run up on Jay-Z, which come on. I'm not saying Jay's the one that can fight, but you know that motherfucker's never alone. But he was going to run up on Jay-Z and because he was in a studio session, but he was in a studio session with Swiss Beatz, and his reason for not running up on him is because he didn't want to make shit awkward for Swiss. But anyways, I found that very intriguing that went deep. I know I got sidetracked from what the initial thought was, and the initial thought was like, with Dame Dash being your first cousin, that motherfucker's always talking shit about something. You had to have known that DMX had died because
somehow, some way.
All over everything, social media, news, everything.
There's no way you're living under a rock. Like
no way.
Or she was living under a rock and a pipe.
I don't know. She was married four times. Two kids.
She's been married four times?
Yeah. Yeah, four times, looks like.
She probably took a lot of pills.
I did not know that.
Hey, listen, I'm still sliding the D. I'm still giving it to her. I'm not going to lie. I mean, nowadays, not raw, but in the 90s, oh, yeah.
I don't think she could get pregnant. She ain't got no age in her, do she?
Nah.
Give it to a raw.
You know what I just noticed? I just noticed that on every Lox album, each one of the members have a solo song.
Everybody had a solo song on We Are the Streets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just saying on every Lox album, every Lox member has a solo song. I did not know that.
Yeah, and I
own these albums.
The video that I watched about the beef between the two. They was talking about how on each one of their solo songs, solo albums, there was a song, there was a diss track towards Rockefeller. But then shit got awkward because
Jadakiss signed to Roc Nation.
Correct. So Jadakiss signed to Roc Nation, and that was kind of towards the end of the beef, and that made it awkward because at that point they stopped beefing with Jay, and then they focused the beef on like Beanie Siegel and the rest of Rockefeller.
I think that shit was over by the time he signed to Roc Nation.
Yeah,
yeah,
because he signed to Roc Nation on the last Kiss album.
Yeah.
Yes. There was also it was DMX did not release his last album under Def Jam.
Because I think he did it off Rough House Columbia or something, right?
Correct. He did it off of Rough House Columbia because he didn't want Jay-Z, because with all this going on, he didn't want Jay-Z to manipulate like album sales and things like that because of this ongoing beef. It was very, like I said, I didn't know that the shit ran as deep as it did. But regardless of anything, Stacey Dash, she shouldn't do the DMX side. I don't know how we come to this.
Word. We went totally left field with that one.
Yeah, but it,
so, the next thing that Two Gun wanted to talk on was, I had to talk about the ban on abortion when we've already spoke on that before. Two Gun wasn't on the show when we talked about it.
Speaking of the ban on abortion, fun fact. In 2020, Stacey Dash had started a movie called Roe vs. Wade.
Did she?
Yes, she did. I'm just throwing it out there.
That's a fact.
Was that direct to video?
Of course, Stacey Dash.
And she played Mildred Jefferson.
Wow.
Who, when I look at the picture, is blacker than Stacey Dash appears to be.
But what's it called? We spoke on the ban of abortion, on an episode that Two Gun was, you know, out of commission.
Yeah. So do you want to speak on it again?
I think Stink is fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Because some of these people are like, no preservation of life for the woman. Rape doesn't count. Incest, all kind of shit.
Let me tell you a funny story. So they talk about the ban on abortion because, you know, they always say, you know, the life isn't consumed yet, blah, 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 right? Do you know somebody got arrested in South Carolina and got charged with double homicide for killing a pregnant woman?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Wow.
I think that's everywhere. You could, a lot of places do that.
Okay, never mind then.
Yeah. It's just rare that you kill a pregnant woman, but... You know,
well, I think it was a carjacking. So,
a what?
I might have heard of that case.
Yeah, carjacking still assists here.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere.
You ride my car, I'm gonna shoot your ass.
Shoot that fucking car up too. One of the two.
Go for the tires first, then go for the body.
Okay.
Can't go nowhere.
Too bad you can't blow up the gas tank like in the movies.
Like on Grand Theft Auto.
Or like RoboCop or something. Fuck that car. Boom!
What's it called? That's one thing I love about Grand Theft Auto, man. It's like, you want to run away from me? Okay. Sniper rifle that gas tank. Boom!
Quick question.
Yo.
And I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but didn't Kanye West, like, didn't he pay for DMX's wedding? Pay for DMX's funeral. Money
towards DMX's funeral, yes.
And then he also
performed. And Def Jam paid the other half.
Oh, Def Jam.
Interesting.
Well, he released his last album on Def Jam.
Exodus.
Which I thought was a pretty decent album.
I was about to say, Exodus, to me, was a cash grab. I did not like it.
I think it was good for what it was. Yeah, you know I mean, and I don't know if it was a cash grab. I don't call it a cash grab because I think what they was trying to do with the album, and to your point, Diggy, they probably did not succeed. They were trying to bring back that old nostalgic DMX, but I think DMX was so far gone at the time.
Well, that's what I was about to say. He's not the same DMX.
Like, yeah, his vocals were gone.
like he was so far gone at the time, he just couldn't give you the same DMX energy, if that makes sense.
What did he say on that song with Snoop Dogg? Hey, boo boo, I'll wake you up with a dick. I'm going out to wake you up with a dick.
Yeah, like he didn't have the same, he didn't have the same bark. You know what I mean? But I appreciated the album and I liked the attempt. And there was actually a couple of tracks on there that I was like, yo, like, you know what? I'm glad that it was, to me, it was one of those, I'm glad that they did this type things as opposed to like, yo, this shit goes in.
Honestly, I think the songs could have been featured on other people's albums.
They probably could have, but like, you like wouldn't get song, a DMX album that way.
The song Bath Salts could have been on one of the King's Disease albums. Oh, God. The song with DMX could have been on a Snoop Dogg album that doesn't sell anymore.
When has the last Verses taken place?
You said what?
Verses. What happened to Verses?
Oh, God. What was the last Verses? 8-Ball, I think it was 8-Ball MJG versus Bun B.
And they just didn't have it no more after that, right?
Pretty much. They just said, you know what? All these Verses that we had planned, we're going to can.
Oh, I know. I think they did something about the format. You were going to only be able to watch it on so-and-so-and-so.
And then, yeah.
On Triller, yeah, because the last several ones I had to watch on the Triller app.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought that, I thought the last Verses was like, wasn't it like 4th of July and it was like some old motherfuckers?
Could have been.
That's what I'm saying, like, it don't get it doesn't have that little push no more, that anticipation or anything.
No, wasn't the last Verses Omarion and Mario?
That's right.
That was
yeah.
When Ray J.
That was the last verse.
Yo, that shit was such a train wreck. I can see why. So yeah, we got to take a break from this shit. I mean, to be fair, like, Dig and Gunner, there's been some shows where it's like, yeah, we gotta take a break for a second.
For real.
And revisit
True. That's true.
We gotta reset.
Well, we just have to regroup.
Yeah.
Regroup and reset and replan this shit all the way the fuck out.
Yeah, that was the last Verses, right?
I wanna say that was the beginning of summer.
That was the beginning of summer.
Yeah.
No, and then, it says here that the last Verses was a Latin music one between Looney Tunes and DJ Nelson.
Who the
fuck was watching that?
But that happened at the 2022 All-Star, Major League Baseball All-Star game.
I'm sure it was a lot of Latino people.
Yeah. It says viewers on Instagram, like the viewers peaked at NA, not available.
Wow.
Here's the thing, though. Verses used to be the shit, because I remember 2 years ago when we were in Vegas, I was watching Jadakiss versus, what's it called?
Fabulous.
And I remember Red was taking a nap in the middle of the afternoon, and I'm sitting there watching that shit like, yo, this is that shit.
Yo, because that's when it was organic.
Yeah, Verses used to be the shit. Like, but you know what else I think hurt Verses? Well, I think Trilla. That for one, the few things that hurt Verses. One of the things that hurt Verses is, like, since a lot of people aren't signing up for the actual Verses that you want to see, like, it's hard to put together like a watchable Verses. Like, everybody fucking tuned in for Jeezy versus Gucci Mane.
Yeah, because they wanted to see if something was gonna happen.
You know what I mean? But that's a Verses that made sense. You know what I mean?
Dipset versus the Locks.
Dipset versus the Locks. That's a Verses that made sense. Like, some of these Verses, it's just like you're just pulling names out the hat. Like Anthony Hamilton versus Music Soul Child. Who gives a fuck? Like, I get it. They're both R&B, but like there's no beef between them.
I still think my favorite Verses of all time was Snoop Dogg versus DMX.
Yeah, but like we all know that DMX probably should have went up against somebody else.
Yeah,
DMX probably should have went up against Jay-Z. Nigga, they had a Neo versus Jonte Austin That was a songwriter one, but like I'd rather see Neo go up against somebody from an R&B status. You know what
for
I mean?
For real.
Like we got to get Chris Brown versus Usher. Like, listen,
I'm gonna tell you what. What was it? Shaka Khan versus
Stephanie Mills.
Shaka was so fucking drunk it didn't even make it enjoyable.
Yeah, like I
and like really... Steve Harvey fucked the Earth, Wind & Fire Isley Brothers up.
What? Oh,
and that versus was like that versus was supposed to be like one of the best verses. Isley Brothers. That was a versus, nigga. I remember calling you when that versus came out, and I was like, "Yo, make sure you go to mom and dad's house and set that shit up so they can watch that shit."
But listen, do you know what fucked up that versus? Earth, Wind & Fire had 20 songs. The Isley Brothers had 20 songs, and Steve Harvey had 20 stories.
Word.
Steve Harvey's like, I remember riding my bike down to this girl's house with my Earth, Wind & Fire record. And
he was biased.
He was very biased at that Earth, Wind & Fire.
Word.
But you can see Ron thing. Isley looking like, yo, what the fuck this nigga talking about? Why is he on the stage with us?
No, but he was just like, hey, Ron, remember that episode of Steve Harvey show that you did? Yeah, man, that was great. That was great.
He was a high top, right?
Bertine, when I heard that song come out, I was frying some fish at my mama's house.
What was the high top song?
Oh, When the Funk Hit the Fan.
Yeah. All the people start to jam. Come on, get with me. What's better, the high top song or pop song?
Ooh,
When my love bang, bang. Goes bang, 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 bang. You better run and cover your sweet little thing. Hey,
I'm gonna go with the high top.
I gotta go with pop song. wasn't there one off the Jamie Foxx show too? Where
the Uncle Temptation had, nigga was on there, right?
Uncle Junior had a song too, right?
Ollie Woodson.
Yeah, the Temptation nigga, but what was the song? Yeah,
that was Ollie Woodson. But Ollie Woodson did Treat Her Like a Lady.
He's that, ooh, ooh, ooh. I can't even get my voice to do that. Like, I like the winning doors.
No. But you remember the Jamie Foxx show, right?
Yeah. I can't remember the song, though.
Oh, man. Like, it's kind of funny that each one of these shows had the same fucking premise. but the Jamie Foxx show, Uncle Junior, like he had an old band, and it was like one of the first two seasons of this shit happened, and they got the band together to perform. But wasn't on the Jamie Foxx show like the dude? And I may be fucking this up because it may be the Temptones. But like I know one of those shows, it was like the guy used to be a guy and it's a girl now.
Oh, that was Pop's band. What was
Pop's band? That was Pop's band. Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember Jamie Foxx had the same fucking scenario on his show too.
No, but the thing about Steve and the High Tops that made it funny was at the end when they were doing the song, how everybody had their own dance.
So I'm reading here really quick about like the versus battle, and the only thing that I see on docket that may be a potential versus battle for the future is Destiny Child versus TLC.
I don't think that ever happened.
That not only will that never happen, it doesn't fit.
It doesn't. Like, it really...
That's like aunties versus nieces. Yeah,
right. Like, I think that's what really kind of fucked up the last, and I really think that last versus was just what really fucked it up. The night of R&B with Omarion versus Mario, and then somehow Bobby V got involved, and then Ray J, and then fucking Sammy Pleasure P, and then all those motherfuckers they got involved, and then it led to the conversation that R&B is dead, and you know, and then they're like, we ain't doing with that.
It kind of is, unless like only people. It's not like as big as it was before. Before radio was more R&B. Now radio is just more noise.
Well,
it is.
and Two Gun had this conversation on the phone before. Now that Red's on, I can have this conversation. Red, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Who or what killed R&B?
Drake.
Really?
Possibly.
Two Gun hated my answer.
I don't know. I think what killed R&B was the fact that
radio, basically.
No, but radio. But I think that R&B tried to redefine the genre of what R&B really was, and then it got lost in the shuffle of trying to be relevant to hip hop.
Let me tell you what I think killed R&B. A lot of people hate my answer, but hear me out. Jodeci.
How?
Jodeci turned R&B into Thuggin' B.
That was in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you got to think of the groups that was precursor to Jodeci. You had Boyz II Men, New Edition, The Jacksons, so on and so on and so on.
I don't think that killed it. What's it called? Because you still had a lot of... Yeah, you had the Music Soul Childs, the Anthony Hamilton, the Lyles.
To your point, Digger, if Jodeci killed R&B, then it was a very slow death because of that. Because Usher popped off after that.
Aaliyah.
Usher wasn't doing Thuggin' B.
He wasn't doing Thuggin' B. I think that the Thuggin' B did kind of kill it, but I think what ended up happening is I think R&B died after the time frame of.
And you got to remember, that was the New Jack Swing era. It was always a mix. Al B. Sure, Belle Biv DeVoe. They just was a little more raunchy with it.
Yeah, so like
talking about Guy.
Guy.
New Jack Swing. I'm gonna tell you what I think killed R&B, right? But what I think killed R&B. And I'm gonna just draw two names, right? And I'm gonna say Chris Brown, right? Because Chris Brown was kind of R&B his first album, and you can hear the transition because one of my favorite R&B artists of all time is Neo, and if you listen to Neo's transition in albums, I think the Chris Brown era kind of killed R&B because R&B turned into there was a time where R&B turned into like dance music. You know what I mean? And dance music and the shit that you listen to the club with that oof, 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 oof. Like that bullshit, that's what R&B was.
That bullshit.
Yeah. That's what R&B turned into. And then they was like, oh, we got to bring R&B back to R&B. And then they try to bring it back. And then Chris Brown turned the R&B into like...
A double mint commercial?
Yeah, and there was a lot more of like, okay, well, what do we talk about? We talk about love in R&B.
You know what killed R&B?
What's love nowadays? Let's talk about pussy. You know what I mean?
This is what killed R&B. R&B went from Jodeci and R. Kelly, which was more suggestive, to outright being explicit.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, most people don't want their kids listening to explicit rap. Why would they let them listen to explicit R&B?
So who would you say killed it?
Nobody really killed it. It just kind of killed itself. Yeah. Like with the whole features, it was, you know what I mean? The features started and then the R&B niggas wanted to emulate rap niggas.
Yeah.
More so than anything. They didn't want to just be R&B niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And like I said, and I think also having that transition of, like, not really knowing what R&B was, because you got to think about it. In the 2000s, R&B went from when we had the Music Soul Childs, when we had the early Neos, when we had the
Ruben Studdards.
And the Ruben Studdards and shit. It went from that to, the club-style R&B, and then you try to get it back on track, and then all these R&B motherfuckers know as rappers, and then you try to implement that rap, I'm gonna fuck you in your mouth type R&B music instead of saying I want to love you slowly. You know what I mean?
It was a lot of people who really couldn't sing. That was doing R&B music. They could hold a note, but they really wasn't singing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question then.
And you know what? I'm gonna say this. Nigga. Go ahead, Digger. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Bring back the fat, greasy motherfuckers.
All that.
We should.
Because the S curls and the chapstick.
And you know what? Digger, to that point, Digger
can take his ass off.
The hoop earrings. You got to bring the hoop earrings back.
And you know what, Digger? We tried, but Ruben Sutter couldn't do it alone.
No.
Like Luther had Alexander O'Neal and Freddie Jackson back there with him. Like helping
Freddie
him hold
Jackson
down
was a fat fucker, too.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's my point. Like,
was he fat back then?
Yeah, he was.
He was thick.
He was, yeah, he was plump.
Pause. You know what I mean? Like, it was Vic Pauls, but like he had them holding it down with them. Like, and this is why I go back to my original point of saying that Drake fucked up R&B. It's because Drake tried to balance both genres, and he did it in a manner to where he already had control of over the market or whatever, to where now everybody tried to do R&B the way that Drake did it. You know what I mean?
But you gotta understand, man. Luther and Freddie were both singing to men too.
Wow. gotta be.
Hey, listen though.
And nigga, we saw straight through that "You Are My Lady" shit.
Nah, but you know what killed the R&B too? Like that? The pop.
Yeah.
Pop kind of faded out too.
Well, and that goes back to my original point of when you make that club music. The genres get kind of merged together, and you don't know what the fuck is what.
I think the labels just was like, "Yo, this rap shit is making more money, and we really don't have to put no money into these little niggas.
Yeah.
We can just make a lot of money, and you know what I'm saying?
Go out there and make what sells, man.
You know what's funny? You know what one of my favorite R&B songs is?
Yo, what?
Y'all don't laugh at me, but "Gone" by NSYNC.
That's not an R&B song,
nigga. That's an R&B song.
Is it? It is, but it's not.
It's an R&B song, but like going back to Gunna's
that's
point.
Blue Eyed Soul. Fuck that. I love the song. I love the song, don't get me wrong.
This nigga put him in Michael McDonald's category.
There's a thousand words that I could say.
That's my shit.
I'm about to say, that's my shit.
But that's just a good ass white boy song. Like, they did their thing on that one.
Shout out to NSYNC.
Right, wherever y'all at.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like
nowhere, but with his wife.
One of the things that I used to love about R&B is that we had like the groups. You know what I mean? So we had like the Jodeci's. We had the 112. The
Shy. Girls.
Like nowadays, ideal. Yeah, you know what I mean? We had all of that, right? Like, even the ones that didn't fucking make it. You know what I mean? Like Take Six or Take Seven?
Take Six had a little run. After Seven had a little run.
After Seven, you know?
Yeah, they had a little run.
No, I think he's talking more so like Profile. And
Profile, yeah.
Like, Profile, Subway.
Mint Condition.
Right. Mint Condition was more... Yeah, Mint Condition was more that, like, it was R&B, but it was like a band type shit.
Yeah, it was a band. Yeah,
like that other group, I've been doing my... what's the name of that group with the girl singing?
Groove Theory,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's the song.
There was kind of crossover.
I don't know if I said this on the last show or on one of the previous shows, or if I said it in a text message. But like back in the day, like you can just kind of see the decline. Like back in the day in like the 70s and early 80s, like most R&B groups, they had like 15 fucking members. You know what I mean? And like
everybody, I wonder why they broke.
Right? They had 15 fucking members, but the music was banging. And then you get to the early 90s, and then you have like where they dwindled down to like 5 to 3 members and shit like that. And like, but everybody had, you know what I mean? Like everybody had like their focus on the R&B. And nowadays it's just like one R&B dude featuring with like a shit ton of rappers. You know what I mean? And it really takes away from the genre.
And he got gold teeth too. And talk about Blood Gang.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you like this. You know what R&B CD did not age well to me?
What?
Genuine's first two albums.
Hold on, what was the second album? The Bachelor?
No,
Bachelor was the first one.
And 100% Genuine.
Ooh, I like 100% Genuine. I was just saying the other day, bro.
Yeah, it got some songs on it.
It got some hits on there.
They didn't age well to me. And the reason why I've been listening to Genuine a lot is because this nigga's turning into an own meme of him own.
Word of itself.
Yo, that dance move when they put the meme in there, we was moving the couch.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wait, that one that you sent me the other day. Yes.
Where he just did the head movement. I think I sent that to everybody.
Oh, this motherfucker!
I was just like, all right, let me just listen, because one of the videos he was doing same OG. I said like, that used to be my shit, but you know, like when I listen to it nowadays, I'm like. Okay.
It's just, you know, that was a different time, too.
Another thing, not for nothing. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I remember Genuine using the villain mustache.
Oh, that shit was so perfect. I used to try to get my shit like that. I ain't even gonna lie. That shit that just like pointy at the top and goes straight down.
Oh, Disney villain mustache.
Yo, where that nigga from Jagged Edge had that same mustache.
Yeah.
Yo, not for nothing. Not for nothing. For talking another thing about some elements of R&B. You know what else I feel like this kind of took away from the R&B?
What's that?
When it started taking like the production, right? A lot of R&B songs now are produced the same way like hip hop songs are produced. And you really take away some of that vital stuff that makes some of those older R&B songs like really good. Uh-huh. So like you remember that early 90s, they used to have the keyboard, not the piano, but the keyboard, with the Casio keyboard. Like
well, remember how Happy from Surface used to start.
That's a guitar, nigga. That ain't a keyboard. That's a guitar.
But they used to have to. The Casio keyboards in the background on the production, but, like shit that this identifies it as an R&B song. You know what I mean?
Speaking of Surface, have you ever looked at that group?
Yeah.
It was two young niggas and a middle aged man.
You gotta love 70s and early 80s R&B though.
Yeah.
But you know how you
especially early 80s, because early 80s R&B was just so much pop music.
Yeah.
Do you know how you know you used to be getting a good R&B song?
When
they had one of the niggas that was balding.
Well, you gotta remember, niggas used to come into the league bald back in the day.
Yeah, facts.
Like you came out of college with the George Jefferson.
You know what I'm saying? He rocked the George Jefferson.
Yo, what did I post the other day? Because I went down an R&B rabbit hole on Apple Music. That fucking guy, he looked like the kid for that movie, Soul Man. Soul Man. Shake You Down.
Gregory Abbott. I've been watching you.
Gregory Abbott.
Yeah. So far across the floor now, baby. That's my mama's song.
Hey, that's my shit, too. Hey. When he hit you with that eeny, meeny, miny, oh.
Yo, how about the Tony Terry nigga with the red hot top face?
When I'm with you. Yo, I just sent both of y'all pictures to y'all text message of what I'm talking about. That those two young niggas in that nigga doesn't look like he belongs in the group.
That's how them groups always was. It was just... how did y'all link up? Was this like somebody's uncle? Are y'all like the Migos? Like, what's going on? Why is his mustache so thick?
One of the other things I would like to see come back in music. that's the dad and the sons. One of the other things I'd like to see come back in music that we've talked about. I know we've talked about this in the show is like. I would like to see like the cliques in the crews. You know what I mean?
Crews now is so it's none of the niggas be rappers.
Yeah, like I like to see like because remember St. Lunatics had a crew. G-Unit had their crew. Rockefeller had their crew. And well, there was at least...
What crew are you going to do now? The Pink Pony Gang? Like,
yeah, that's the thing. There's not enough positive, like
crews. Boys to Men, ABC, BBD, East Coast Family.
And I think one of the groups, and God bless you, Digga, for this. And every time one of their songs pop up on my Apple Music, I just think and say God bless you too. But I think No Limit did it the best when it came to like crews, because they had their own little subgroups. They had individual rappers that like they formulated what like a hip hop crew looked like. And then the Hot Boys did it, Rockefeller did it. And back then, music seemed a little bit more competitive because of that. Like, it was easy to just kind of jump into a, like, I'm ripping the mid, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry, I can't take the Hot Boys serious no more, or anybody in Cash Money seriously anymore. You know why?
Why?
What Turk said on
Drink Champs? I didn't watch the new one yet, but.
Turk said, end quote, he goes, yeah, man, we were wearing a bunch of fake jewelry. No, he goes, really? He goes, yeah. Wait, and I want y'all to do this too. He said, yeah, look on the cover of How You Love That. All the Rolexes in the center. See if you see a Rolex label on it. And I zoomed in on that bitch. Them are a bunch of Geneva watches.
And listen, you gotta do what you gotta do until you make it. But like,
and they was like, children.
Yeah, and hip hop was fun back then, just because of that. You know what I mean? Like,
because of Geneva watches.
I mean, yeah, but because they had like the crews and like everything different. Like, you look at like Bad Boy. Bad Boy was like, they had their R&B side, they had the hip hop side. Everybody had a solo album and things like that. Now everybody's just in it for
who
like
Bad Boy. Instant, who on Bad Boy?
You know what I mean? Nobody was paid. I didn't say that it was paid. I just said it was fun.
What Black Rob say? Black Rob said, I was one step away from eating dog food, nigga.
Damn.
Listen, I just said it was fun, man. I ain't say nothing about how much they were getting paid. I'm not speaking on that.
And that's why Black Rob died, you know?
Wow.
After whooping his dog food can. Poor guy.
Fucking Jenny killed that nigga.
I think so.
Yeah. Did he kill Biggie too? What? Huh?
You killed who? Diggy.
I'm just joking.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get canceled by Revo.
I'm joking. That was a joke. That was a joke.
I was about to say, before we get canceled by Revo, Diggy's about to put a hit on all three of us. Yeah, I heard that show.
Diggy better watch the fuck out.
Yo, did he you up there, man? You up there. You've been hiding lately. You've been hiding. This is coming out only when the sun's down. You know what that means, Diddy. It means you're getting up there in age.
Now you got a city girl now. You living his best life. What, he got like 3 or 4 girlfriends or some shit?
Who, Diddy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't he dating his son's girlfriend?
Was that Young Miami or somebody else?
Well, he's in Young Miami, but like, wasn't he also dating like Laura Harvey or whatever the chick's name is?
No, he was dating Laura Harvey. Lori Harvey. That was, oh God.
No, did he was? His son was, and then he started dating her, and then she started dating Michael B. Jordan.
I think Diddy just dates women to like blow us off that he's a fag.
What? I want to say that. Because remember when he presented Smokey Robinson the Lifetime Achievement Award and he was behind him licking his lips and shit?
Man. I'm going to take that.
Like he was staring this nigga down hard.
Yeah, Smokey. Gang banging for real, Smokey.
Man. Uh-huh.
Gang banging.
He's talking about cruising together. Smokey is the most non-singing ass. Best R&B artist of all time.
Smokey couldn't sing. That's true.
And like, he was just a falsetto, light skin, green eyes.
I'm about to say, like, have you ever heard the song Quiet Storm?
What album was that? That was from the 80s?
Yeah, late 70s. from the Quiet Storm album. He goes,
break it down, break it down. He's a good songwriter, though.
Songwriter. Nigga, like, listen to the song Gangbanging.
Wasting your what? Time. You said Gangbang.
Yeah, Gangbang. Gangbanging.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. That shit. That a video and all that.
Smoking that smoke. Doing that dope. Losing out hope.
That's another thing that is going now. We don't got all that, like, stuff to, like, for the community. You know what I mean?
You know why? Because these artists are on drugs.
No, not only that, like, you know, like the DARE program, you don't see that outside. You don't see, it's just a different, I guess it was just a different era.
So, talking about R&B singers who can't sing, I just Googled a very interesting list.
Oh, shit.
And this list, I'm not even going to look at this website as a credible website, but it has some very interesting names on here. But this list is the non-negotiable worst voices in R&B history, right? But the way that they did the list was people who have, like, who they consider have terrible voices for R&B songs, but are very famous. And it's a 10 person list.
Is Smokey Robinson on there?
He is not. Number 10 is Janet Jackson.
Yep.
Number 9 is Casey from Casey and JoJo.
Absolutely.
Number 8 is all of New Edition except Johnny Gill.
Oh my God, they fucking with me. They fucking with me right now.
Two guns.
So Ralph couldn't sing?
I know Bobby Brown couldn't sing.
Bobby Brown sold 12 million records. Fuck that.
He sold 12 million records, but what could he really say, though?
Girl.
If it ain't good, no, Bobby didn't. Bobby did a lot of talking.
He did.
Bobby was like Michael and Janet. He had a kind of soft voice that worked on record.
Don't get me wrong. I'm really not.
Here's a very interesting one. They have Aaliyah at number 7.
Damn.
I sort of see that.
You know what's funny? Nigga, I sort of see it too. Like, I can hear it. Obviously, a very beautiful young lady, but like if you listen to her, like, you can hear where it's like she trails off with some of the vocals.
Another one, a nice voice, kind of soft, strong at some points, sounds good on record. All these people can hold a note.
Yeah, they got Trey Songz on here.
He just always seemed like he cries in the studio. Yeah.
Make it love. Keisha Cole.
Nah, Keisha Cole can sing.
She can sing. I don't agree with that one. Akon's on here, but I can see because he has an annoying ass voice.
But he doesn't count though. He's like that R&B rap music.
Right. They got Alicia Keys on here.
Wow.
Interesting.
Hold on. I'm thinking.
And then
Alicia Keys can blow.
Yeah,
blow Swiss.
And nah. You gotta remember, what's that one song? But I don't want nothing at all. That's all her ring. Like,
okay, you know that song, you know, that song she can sing. The song I Need You off of, oh God, what was the name of that album?
She's hit or miss. Because I've heard songs where she would definitely kill it.
I would say she's hit or miss.
I think sometimes he goes too low. That's
She's hit or miss. So I can see that. Number 2 is a definite fucking Keith Sweat.
baby, yeah, know.
Okay. Keith Sweat sounds like a damn sheep.
Hold on.
No,
you might be young, but you're ready.
My favorite day with Keith Sweat. What's that damn song? I don't understand it. Woo!
That song. How deep
is your love? Yo. I feel like I gotta play it.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Hold on. Let me cue it up.
You know,
before I do, I'll cue it up before I do number 1.
You know what my favorite Keith Sweat line is?
What?
If all that night is over.
Wow.
That whole song, that whole song was the origination of mumble rap.
Which, wow.
Yo. He did.
He had some good ass songs, though. You can't deny that shit.
What did he say? If you want to make the circus, baby, I won't be
around. Yeah, you got me twisted over you.
I'm not
got what you need right here, baby.
So to be clear, to be clear with this list, it doesn't say that any of these artists had like terrible music. It just said that they wasn't that great of singers.
Well, see, well, Casey has such a strong 70s voice. He does so much with it.
This is what I always say about Casey. Casey has a Deacon voice.
Yeah, but that's that 70s voice. That's that Dennis Edwards. That's that, you know what I'm saying?
The voice of the Deacon voice. Always try to sing, but sometimes they just couldn't.
That's that cocaine voice.
You know Casey a lot.
Oh, well.
I'm not in the but you got a cue up, Red. Turn it.
Let me see if I can hit.
There you go. Listen to that good R&B beat.
Go ahead.
Keith.
Oh, no, let me get to the original.
Oh, wait, that's.
This one right here. Right here. Listen.
What album was that on?
The first album.
Oh, shit. Yo,
his first album was pretty damn dope. Like,
no, let me stop you right there. Do you know why we thought that album was dope?
Why?
Our mother act like that was the only album she owned for about 3 years.
The beat had good ass beats on it though. Production was good.
Teddy Riley produced the whole thing.
It wasn't no Chucky Booker album.
Wow.
Turned away.
We went there.
Yo, my mother had the single. My mother was like the single person. She didn't buy albums. She bought singles.
What was that other Chucky Booker song?
Listen.
You know I love you.
Listen, I don't even remember that one. That album, though, that first Keith Sweat album had the song Make It Last Forever.
Make It Last Forever.
Which I personally consider, like obviously because of... You know, like the way he sings. But I consider that as one of the better R&B songs of all time. Yeah. Not the best, but one of the better ones.
You know what Keith Sweat sounded like? A goat with helium.
But remember when he was singing on Martin when he was the cop? And it was like, it was something so spectacular. Like, nigga, the nigga can't sing.
Wait, who?
When he was on Martin.
I just remember him on New Jack City.
You know the funny thing about New Jack City?
Yeah.
When the shooting happened, the way he was running.
Fucking Keith Sweat.
Oh, you talking about the wedding?
Yeah.
There you go, telling me no.
First things first, wedding song.
It just had to be in the movie.
Yo, the last one on the list, because I don't want to overlook this one, but the last person on the list is Mary J. Blige.
Nah, they got to get out of here with that.
Mary
can sing, because every time I hear I'm Going Down, that just puts me in my feels.
Yo, Young Mary, when she first came out, I had the biggest crush on, I swear to God.
Well, so did I.
Yeah. I don't like the fact that they put Mary J. Blige here, but the picture that they chose of her is fucked up. Like,
why is she looking greasy or some shit?
Oh, they should. I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to send it to y'all.
Wow.
They shouldn't have did Mary like this. That's...
It's no worse than what's it called? Nick Ashford.
Wow.
Nick Ashford was always a greasy black looking nigga. I don't care what
he had that fucking perm.
Nigga, send it to Gunner. No, actually, I got your number. Mm-hmm.
Yo!
Fucked up picture of her.
They got her looking like one of the minions.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a fucked up picture. That they didn't have to do Mary like that.
I'm gonna send this to Two Gun.
I will say, I saw, I went to the Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige concert, and I saw her live, and she can sing. So I don't like I said, this is probably one of those lists that are.
She got the Coke voice too now.
Like this is one of those lists that's probably like a trolling list.
Have y'all seen the woman that portrayed her on Sherman Showcase?
No.
I gotta watch it again.
I sent you the whole season, Red.
I know,
it's on Hulu.
I didn't finish watching it yet.
Yeah, it's on called, Hulu. Yeah, the episode's called. They have a fake Mary J. Blige hosting it. Like when they had Mary perform at the end, I was rolling. What that bitch say? She goes, "Oh no, Mary said y'all."
I gotta watch it.
My boyfriend just broke up with me, y'all.
But the way that you said that, this shit sounds funny as fuck.
You might be young, but you're ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
That's where you ended at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm Digga Jones. That's Two Gun Tony. And that's Red. And we are the Troublemakers.
Hey.
Honestly, yeah, let's just close the show out. Who wants to close out first?
I'll start off, man. Look, listen. Good ass show. I like the dialogue, like the conversation. Hopefully the listeners liked it too. Definitely hit us up with any opinions that y'all may have or what y'all think about R&B and the other things that we talked about tonight. And also hit us up with some things that you would like to hear us talk about. You know what I mean? Like I always say every show, man, there's still some craziness going on out there. There's it's still crazy world. There's motherfuckers who kicking motherfuckers out their baby shower for not buying gifts and shit.
Damn.
So, yeah. I saw that story today. So y'all just be safe. Look after one another. Take care of each other, and keep listening and sharing the show. We enjoy doing this, and we hope y'all do too.
For a night. Yeah, that night.
All right, Gunner.
Well, this is just a show about nothing, about something, about nothing. Next week, we back to Talk Tuesday.
Hey.
And then the week after that, Red, it's your turn next. You back to the host of the show, so you got to get your questions ready.
Yep, I'll be working on it.
Word. We gotta find a guest that's going to be a worthy opponent. Let's see. Who hasn't been on the game show?
Well, we had Mikey, we had Ray, we had Drew, we had
Double M was on there.
Double M was on there.
X Jack was on there.
Yeah. How about Soup?
Soup has not been on the game show.
Hey, there we go.
I'm gonna have to get Soup on there.
I will get Soup on.
Sorry.
And if he can't, we'll figure somebody out.
Right.
But, you know, Talk Tuesday next week. Back to those questions.
Hey.
Mostly about Digga and his love life.
My bad. Sorry about that.
Fuck y'all, man.
Yeah, that was a tuberculosis ass cough right there.
I know, right?
Nah, that was this drink went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll take you out. Yo, you ever choked on something and you were home by yourself and you thought you was gonna die? like eating Chinese food. Oh, that's fucked up. He didn't. Yeah, they killed Prodigy. They killed Prodigy. I ain't gonna lie, I almost choked on something in the hospital too. That's just no joke.
See? And you couldn't get to that much fast enough, could you?
Man, they wouldn't even come fast enough, to be honest with you. Because when you press the button, they ask you a question. They don't just come.
That's what I was about to say. I was about to say, anytime I'm in the hospital with diabetes and I press the button, it's the equivalent of them going, "What?"
What?
All right.
Give me some coffee, shit. Bitch.
He ain't say shit, so he must be good. Nah, bitch, man. I'm choking.
Yeah, but I'm done with my cold and standing.
All right, so... one of the things that I find interesting in my closing statement is I actually found out there's a song that from one of my favorite artists that I actually don't enjoy that 2 Gun does.
What's that?
Oh, I'll play it for you.
Where is it?
Yeah.
I cannot stand that song. But
that's my shit right there.
Sure, hey, what's your price?
Let me tell one.
I mean, I don't think that was a good song to come out with at the time when you were beefing with Jay. Because
let me tell you a story about this song. So back when we were teenagers, I used to listen to music on my headphones and in our bedroom, me and Red shared a room. And one time I was listening to that song and I would whisper the words and it was like midnight. So all of a sudden I'm whispering the words of that song, so on, and I get hit in the I think it was a pencil. And I'm like, what the hell is that? Hey, I take the headphones off and I was like, yo, shut the fuck up.
Nigga, Red tried to give you lead poisoning.
I didn't mean to do that.
Do you remember that, Red?
I don't, but I remember you used to listen to the song and whisper it.
Yeah.
Because to be fair, the music he had in the headphones was loud. That was tolerable. But then, like, the whispering of the song, like, if you're trying to sleep,
word, that's a fucking annoying.
Yeah, I mean, that was before I, you know. Yeah, my bad. I didn't mean to do that, Digga.
No, we good. We good. But thank you for listening to the show.
Oh, my God.
Ready,
I forgot he held the note. That's the Apollo. That's the live Apollo version.
Oh, wow.
You know he was struggling to hold that note.
Hold on. Struggling. Come up. Was he wearing a black silk shirt?
No, he was wearing, it looked like a whole leather outfit, kind of. Not even leather. It was like, you know those two pieces with the bottom, it don't got no zipper, but it stops around the waist like a sweatshirt?
Yeah, Danny Murphy.
Yeah, like one of those type things.
Let me tell you, baby.
With a shirt underneath, very R&B-esque. That's what I missed, the R&B outfits. For real. The R&B outfits.
I forgot where I was in my closing statement.
We're going to get us to some R&B outfits, like some New Edition type of shit, some Annie Heartbreak shit.
So I was about to say, when we do our Troublemakers podcast, it's going to be the Troublemakers R&B group.
Like one leg is going to be red, one leg is going to be black with like a red silk shirt on.
Some fucking sequin Jordans.
Wear the hammer pants.
Some with the roll-up t-shirt headband.
Wear a starter hat with the snapback in the back.
I'm going to have me a man weave Jerry Curl unit.
Damn. I'm going to have on an Apex jacket.
With the thick-ass mustaches.
Wear. Red going to have on the Apex Buffalo Bills jacket.
No, fuck it. I'm actually gonna be the old guy in the group. I'm gonna let my George Jefferson grow in.
Oh wow! But you gotta have it like perfectly neat and patted down,
right?
With no lineup in the back, just the hair just down your neck.
That means you gotta go grab one of them fedoras, one of the fedora hats too.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And just put it on the top of the head where you can still see the baldness.
Still see the baldness. And this motherfucker looking like,
damn, when in trouble, just call DW.
But also, if you know anybody going through a hard time, it only takes 5 seconds to ask if they're good. That goes a long way. We're a part of Blackout Media Group. What else? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Good night.
Hey.
Wait. Next week. One more thing.
Oh, Lord. All right, y'all.
You always. Peace. Later.